The Nicky Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. We've dropped our prices on hundreds of products. Even more reasons to swap to Aldi today.
Hosier.
Mm-hmm.
Ledge himself.
Yeah.
Now, the last time we spoke to him, if you remember, we were in St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre in the window for at Christmas time. And he had just been nominated for a Grammy Award back then. Do you remember that?
I do. He was just about to head over there for the Grammys.
He was. Well, we asked him how we get on. Because we haven't spoken to him since.
Cool, cool.
Well, we know how we get on because we read about it. But I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth himself. And this is what Hosier had to say.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, that night was amazing. Yeah, I mean, nervous as hell, but it was a lot of fun. And getting to share a stage with Annie Lennox was fantastic.
And did you get to, you know, rehearse with her and meet her beforehand?
Yeah, we did a couple of days before the Grammys. I met her a few days beforehand and we had a rehearsal and stuff. And it was just great to talk to her and chat to her and kind of get to know her a little bit, you know.
It's one of those things you'll tell people for many years to come, going, there's me, that's me, I did that. And now listen, the year you've had, it's been absolutely phenomenal. One question I do have, UK radio took a while really to get on board. Why do you think that was? I mean, the USA, were, it was flying obviously across Europe, and it took a while for Britain to come on board. Now, I mean, they're right behind you. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, it's tricky. There's a lot of reasons. I think with America, you have every state, you've 50 states, and every state has a number of radio stations, and every radio station is for like adult alternative, adult pop. Mm. Then you have pop, and you've won on, you know, top 100 stations. And whereas with the UK, you have one big breaker, which is you know, BBC Radio 1. And I suppose it's very, you know, there's so many kind of great, there's so much great music, so many great artists, and That's a big breaker of a station, but I suppose, you know, it takes maybe a little bit longer there. Maybe too as well, like the music, my music is informed a lot by American music, and all my influences are you know, like blues music and soul music. So I think in a lot of ways America really took to that kind of early on.
Yeah, when you were growing up then, was it blues and that type of stuff you were listening to?
Yeah, absolutely. And like a lot of Chicago blues, people like Muddy Waters and Alan Wolfe, Johnny Hooker.
So when you're kind of trying out and you're kind of doing the pubs and club circuit, did you always have faith in yourself that this was going to take off, or was there any moment where you kind of said, I'm not sure?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, you kind of go back and forth, I think, in the quiet years when you're doing those gigs and you're kind of, you're not sure of the material. I didn't have a lot of the material that I gig with now. But I think you have to have faith that you find your audience and that you find your home in whatever you're doing. And so I couldn't, you know, for me anyway, it didn't matter how long it took. It kind of not doing it, I think, wasn't an option. So
you're in it for the long haul.
yeah, good or bad, like.
You picked up two Billboard Music Awards for Top Rock Song for Take Me to Church and Top Rock Artist. Now, you know, America is the golden goose when it comes to music. To sit back, if you do have the time, which you probably don't, but to sit back and look at those gongs, yeah. Is it still hard to believe that you have those?
It is sometimes. Like there isn't a lot of time to kind of sit and think about it. And maybe that helps because, you know, I'll have time when I come off tour. But it is when I do kind of stop and think, it does surprise me how, you know, that I had that opportunity and that, you know, I came away with those awards. Like, and I'm just thrilled.
Yeah. Now, moving on with for the second album, everybody must be asking you, because the first album has been so big, so successful, so many singles. I mean, it's been hard, like I said, it's hard to fit in into 1 year what you've done. So do you have time to start considering a second album at the moment?
Not a lot at the moment, I'll be honest. And there's always... You don't have a lot of time on tour. I'm going to be on tour until March of next year, and you know, every day is very busy. But any kind of chance I get, I would keep a guitar next to me. And there's loads of ideas kind of cooking, but the time it takes to kind of really let those ideas develop is hard to find. So, but I'm trying. I've been home for 2 days, and I'm back sitting down trying to get some work done.
And tell me, are you open then to co-writing with people or other producers getting on board, or is that door firmly closed?
It's not something I would never say never, but for me, I mean, I would like to kind of, I was very happy with how I did the first album, and that was, you know, something I kind of wrote and arranged on my own. And then when I was happy with the material, I went in studio with Rob Kerwin. I would like to do something similar again. I just prefer working on my own, I think, for at least for the first few steps.
Yeah. Some of the material on that first album, though, when, what age were you? You're 25 now, aren't you? So what age would you have been when you started?
There's maybe one or two that would have been older than 2 years, but I think I threw away a lot of material, or I kind of put aside a lot of material and to work on the material on that album. So I would say written from the age of 20, like maybe earliest 22. So that's 22, 23.
I can just imagine that conversation with the record company when you say, yeah, I need another 4 years to plan this album. And they're going, please help. Get him in the studio quick. Slane Castle, what was that like for you?
Slane Castle was, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was to play Slane is, you know, such an institution. So, and to support the Foo Fighters is a big honor. So,
yeah, had you gone to Slane as a kid or anything?
I did. Yeah, I think I remember seeing the Rolling Stones there. Wow. when I was younger. Yeah. It's great, yeah. It was a lot of fun. So just, yeah, to play that stage was a big deal for me.
If one day it'll be all yours, Hosier. I can guarantee you that. When you do get home, what do you like to do? I mean, have you still got a bunch of mates that you go down to a local pub, or would they like to come on the road with you, or what do you do when you're off?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to. At this time, sadly enough, I didn't have a chance to catch up with friends all that much. Really just catching up with family. It's kind of like a quick Christmas, like, you know, every time we try to see as many people as you can. This time I have a huge amount of work to do. So on these few days, I've just been kind of trying to catch up at work, in the time off work, I suppose, which is it's good. It's nice to be making progress on other things too.
Do you miss Ireland? Like, you know, when, I mean, obviously everyone misses Ireland, where they're home, you know, where they're from. But you know, is there times when you go, God, I'd just love to just go back and chill and maybe get a takeaway or something?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, you do, and when you hit walls on tour, and you're just so exhausted, and just seeing friends again, and just seeing familiar faces, and I miss the quiet. I miss, like, the kind of the quietness at home, and I miss doing nothing when you're home. You know, when you have a weekend or something like that. Just, you do definitely, you miss it.
How are you then with festivals? Obviously, Glasgow's been in your life, and I mean, Electric Picnic and stuff. What would be your favourite festivals to do?
Yikes. I mean, Glastonbury's coming up. I'm really excited about that. We're playing the Pyramid Stage this year, so I'm really, really excited. But Newport Folk Festival, I think, was one of the first festivals I did in America, and there's a lot of history to it. It's been kind of going since the 50s, and it's where a huge amount of my influences kind of. I used to watch footage of it from back in the 60s and stuff, and playing that was a big deal for me. And I'm getting to go back there this year, so it's a gorgeous festival.
Any dance mixes of your songs, by the way? Have you, you know, like Martin Garrix or Kygo? Anyone ever approached you and said, "I'd love to kind of do a dance mix of this for the clubs in Ibiza"?
One or two. We're usually very careful about where we let stems go for remixes. Unfortunately, like what's funny is even in America, what happened is even without stems, people just put drum beats on them, and like, so you'd be listening to a radio station in America, pop station, and you'd listen to, you know, if somebody's put a dance beat over "Take Me to Church."
Yeah.
But I think for we gave to Afrojack, he was doing a charity gig, and we gave him some stems for that, and David Guetta as well, I think, for Coachella set was remixing in. But usually I'd be fairly careful about you know, not that many.
I remember we interviewed Noel Gallagher recently, and I asked him the question about he heard somebody do a Wonderwall one time in Manchester, I think, and he said he listened to it and thought, "I'm never doing that song again until I learn how to beat his version of it." Has that happened anywhere from you, where you've heard somebody do "Take Me to Church" or something, you've gone, "Actually, I kind of like what he did there"?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I've nothing yet that would.
Nothing yet, I mean, that's as good as yours. I like it.
No. Yeah, I'll be that brazen about it. No, nothing yet that would make me not play it. But it's lovely to see. You know, there's been some amazing covers where you'd look at something. I think a band called Amber Run did a fantastic cover of "Someone New," and just listen to how different they kind of arranged it, and they did a beautiful job of it. And it does, it makes you think about kind of, it makes you think on about arrangement and what you could do differently.
Now listen, recently you were home in Ireland and you performed at the funeral of one of the Berkeley victims, Olivia Burke. That has got to be, I mean, the whole country is obviously devastated by this, and that's got to be one of the hardest things that you've ever had to do.
It was such a, you know, such a tragedy, like, and I think, you know, it's such a sad affair, but I think it was her brother kind of reached out and said she was a fan, but it's the least I could do, it's just a gesture, but it's something that I think the whole nation is kind of united in grief over.
Completely broken hearted, and that's very kind of you, and well done. So listen, Jose, we'll wrap it up there. We wish you continued success, your credit, and keep flying the flag. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
Thanks very much. Hosier, everybody.
Cheers, man.